You are listening to Clearly Connected, a podcast that inspires new ways to reconnect to ourselves, to others, and to our natural environment in a world where so many of us are disconnected. I'm your host, Carrie Doan. I'm a life coach, an entrepreneur, an advocate for change, and a believer in all things possible. Today, I'm so excited to bring my friend and fellow guest on, sex educator Liza Barnes, to discuss how to consciously talk to your kids about sex. Many parents struggle to know how to effectively communicate this taboo topic to their children, since they likely didn't experience this with their own parents. Today, we want to bridge that gap. I'm so glad you're here to join us as we learn how to confidently speak about sex with our kids and move closer to a more deeply connected way of living. Welcome back, all you beautiful people. Today, I am so excited to have a conversation with my friend and sex educator, Liza Barnes, to discuss something that I've heard many parents struggle with. And that is on how to consciously talk to your kids about sex. So if you're a parent in the Gen X or millennial generation, it's likely that you weren't able to have these candid conversations with your parents about sex or what a healthy sexuality can even look like. So today, she and I want to bridge that gap by tackling this taboo topic so that we can inform and empower both our kids and ourselves as their caregivers. So before we dive in, let me give you a brief intro about my guest. Liza, she is a mom of three. She is a wife, a nurse and sexuality educator, a former labor and delivery nurse and childbirth educator, and an Ohio naturalist who lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, with her family, her two dogs, and her five chickens. And when Liza's not doing these things, you'll find her hiking through the woods, working out, or planning her next camping adventure. So Liza, I'm so, so excited to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Carrie. I'm excited to be here too.
I know, we've been talking about this for so long and I'm just like ready to go.
Let's do it.
So let's go ahead and start like I typically start with all my guests, which is to invite you, if you don't mind, to share just a little bit about your story and background. You know, did you grow up with parents who openly discussed sex with you, or was it more of this kind of like silent elephant in the room?
Well, when I was preparing for this conversation, I was thinking about my story. And my initial response to the question, how did your parents talk to you about sex, was they didn't. The only conversation I remember was when I was in high school. My mom sat me down and I only remember two things about the conversation. It was exceedingly uncomfortable. And the conversation ended with her saying, "And that's why it's so dangerous for teenagers to mess around with sex." And I just remember that's all I remember. And then I was so happy it was over and I never wanted to have that kind of conversation again. Yeah. But as I thought more about it, I started to wonder, like, if my parents didn't tell me about the facts of life, the birds and the bees, whatever you want to call it, where babies come from, then how did I learn? So I interviewed my three sisters to see if they remembered anything. And it was kind of similar to me. They only remembered one specific conversation in their teenage years. And so sister number one remembered asking my mom for birth control when she was a senior in high school. And she said she still remembers the look of utter disappointment on my mom's face.
Oh, wow.
Sister number two remembered nothing except the time my mom, after somehow finding out she had had sex, coming into the bathroom while she was in the shower and lecturing her through the shower curtain about how that's supposed to be saved for marriage. And then sister number three remembered my mom pulling her aside once when she was wearing a cherry necklace and telling her that it was inappropriate and that other kids might get the wrong idea.
Wow.
Yeah. But somehow we all remember knowing the facts of life and things about genitals and periods and pregnancy. And so each of my sisters assumed, as I did, that we had just picked up the information from friends and books. That was before the internet, so there wasn't that option. But I wondered if maybe there was a different story. And like maybe our mom did teach us about it all. And maybe because the conversations were comfortable and not overwhelming, we just don't remember them. You know, humans can like, they're much more likely to hold on to memories when there's strong emotion attached to them, but maybe forget things that are just kind of everyday experiences. And so maybe she'd talk to us in such a comfortable way that we were able to absorb the information and not even recall having the conversation. So I decided to go to the source and I called my mom and I asked her like what her philosophy had been about talking to us about sex. And just as I suspected, she said she'd casually shared information with us over time. Like she didn't want to make it a taboo topic that was only discussed once, which was how it happened for her. And, you know, like thinking about it, it totally makes sense. My childhood was very natural. My parents were hippies. There was no body shame. My mom gave birth to all my three sisters at home, and I was right there in the room for all the births. We even all slept together in a giant family bed until I was like 10 years old. So my mom's like method, it was effective. It was so effective that none of us remember the conversations. We just remember knowing the things. So my mom said she did feel like she could have done a better job, like keeping the dialogue comfortable and open as we reached adolescence, which makes total sense that that's when we all remember those awkward conversations.
Mm-hmm. So that's so fascinating to me. You know, like, let me just ask you real quick. Would you say that prepared you for, you know, entering adulthood as a sexual creature, like, or more in tune with that? Did you feel like you had enough awareness to know how to navigate that world or not?
Not. Okay. I felt like I knew more than a lot of my friends did, just the basic facts about how our bodies work and how sex works. But I didn't know, like, I think those conversations in adolescence would have helped a lot. Just understanding like maybe more about like values around sex, you know, helping me develop my own values around it. And instead of just having it not discussed at all once I reached puberty.
Right. I'm with you. I mean, I'm recounting my education around sex, and I grew up Catholic. So the only memory that I have, and maybe there are more, but really I kind of don't think there are, was when I think in sixth grade, we had a nun came in and gave us this, it was more of an anatomical lecture about the physiological experience of the sexual encounter, which in my mind, I'm thinking, why is a nun teaching this to us? First of all, I'm sure there's qualified nuns out there, but it was confusing to me and it was very awkward. And that was it. I had nothing beyond that experience to inform me other than what I received in the media, or through friends, you know, hearsay. And so it was very much this like figuring it out on my own process, which I'm assuming it sounds like maybe you had that as well.
Yeah, definitely. After, you know, the golden years were over and I was an adolescent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. So we're in a way ill-equipped going into our peak of at least this exploratory process of becoming a sexual creature or being in tune with that. So I'm curious to know, like, not having this education, how did that impact your relationships, like with other people, or maybe even your relationship with your own body? Do you have a sense on what the impact was for you?
Well, for me, You know, I think, like I said before, I felt a little ill-equipped on the emotional side of sexual relationships or just relationships in general with like intimate partners, but I never felt like shame around sex or even uncomfortable talking about sex with my intimate partners or with my friends. So I'd say as a young adult, I was very comfortable with my sexuality and I enjoyed sex. I didn't want to talk about it with certain people. Like there's one example when the pastor who was going to be officiating my first wedding, I've been married twice. He brought it up as a topic that we should discuss during our pre-marriage counseling. I awkwardly declined. I even went so far as not even wanting to like tell him I didn't want to talk about it, but telling my fiance to tell him that I didn't want to talk about it in our sessions. And then I remember when I was pregnant with my first daughter, I wanted to ask a question during the birthing class. And I remember blushing crimson when I used the word vagina in my question. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, you know, I had to build up some comfort in talking about it in different situations. But for me, like there wasn't like that, any guilt or shame or like trepidation about discussing it with my partners.
Yeah. Which is so fascinating. I mean, to me, I think perhaps that's why now you're able to be a sex educator and talk so freely about it. Because in my personal experience, I did have a lot of shame and mm-hmm. guilt. And I'm assuming that's because of the religious piece primarily. And that for me has taken years to undo and to kind of redeem this part of being human, the sexuality, like we are sexual creatures, and to say, no, this is good. And there's nothing wrong with it. And I've heard many other people who have had that layer of shame that they've had to deal with. And so I think it's amazing that you were able to come out of it unscathed in that regard. And I think more prepared than I would say the average person in our generation. So
Yeah, I somehow made it through.
You did. So let's talk now, because you have three kids and, you know, this is obviously something that's important to you. I share the same value as well. Like I, at a certain point thought, oh, I don't want my kids to feel handicapped or the shame that I felt around this. So we're going to talk about it at a very young age.
Yes.
So I want to know for you, at what point did you realize like the importance of discussing this openly with your kids? Was it like right out of the womb? You were like, let's go. We need to make this normal. Or was it a progression?
Well, you know, gosh, I got so lucky. So I got my first post-college job teaching sex ed for a company called Social Health Education here in Cincinnati. And everyone there was incredibly sex positive. So I had a non-traditional college experience, and I graduated from college with my degree in health promotion and education when my oldest daughter was like, I walked in graduation when she was 3 days old. I was 28. And then I got my first post-college job 3 months after she was born. So, I just got really lucky with the timing, because I learned so much at that job that I could carry into my parenting. So at that job, I taught topics ranging from puberty to STIs to safer sex practices to healthy relationships. And I taught this stuff to groups ranging from fourth graders in suburban and inner city elementary schools to adults in drug rehab centers and jails. So it was like all over the place with the audiences, and we made it fun. Like that was like one of the number one priorities, because you learn more when you're having fun. So we wove humor into our presentations and just comfort. And I just learned so much about how to have these conversations, and you have to make them fact-based, age-appropriate, and casual. You know, that's what's really important. Like kind of contrasting your experience with the nun coming in and maybe it being awkward. I similarly remember my health teacher in high school just being red in the face and playing with his, like, he was grabbing his earlobe the whole time he's talking about this stuff, like soothing himself because he was so uncomfortable. So I just learned, you know, if you're blushing, if I'm blushing when I'm lecturing boys about how to do testicular self exams, then they're going to be just as uncomfortable as I am, right? So I carried these lessons home, and I've raised my daughters using that same approach. So my daughters are 18, 11, and 7. And actually, like, preparing for this podcast, I asked my 18-year-old daughter, with whom I've been very open about sex, what she remembers about how I talked to her about it. And she says she doesn't remember, like, learning about the stuff in the first place. She did tell me that she was in an animal studies class last year at her school, and they were learning about mammal reproduction. And she said the whole class was giggling except her. And she basically, like, stopped everyone. And it's a small classes. So there are probably like 10 kids in the class. And she stopped everyone. And she's like, why are you guys acting so weird about this? Everyone has sex. That's how you all got here. And the teacher asked her, like, what, like, can you just, like, you know, talk to us more about this? And she was like, well, I grew up in a sex positive household, and it's just a normal part of life we don't need to giggle about. And so I was just, like, so proud, like, that, you know, she took that attitude out into the world with her. And what our discussions have, like, kind of evolved into as she's gotten older and as she reached adolescence then beyond is more of, like, just, she knows she can come to me with any questions that she has. Mm-hmm. And she knows she can come to me with questions her friends have and then take those answers back to her friends. So we just have a really open dialogue.
Wow. I love that, because that was going to be my next question. Like, how has that changed your relationship, or is there an openness there? Mm-hmm. And it absolutely sounds like yes. And I'm so passionate about making this normal, right? Like you said, to be casual, like, this is a part of being a human being, and everybody's going to do it. So why not talk about it? And the fact that you were able to broach it in that way, that it did become normal to her. And then she's in these contexts where, you know, everybody else is acting weird. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, so you accomplished that, which I think is amazing. And that's one of the reasons why I want to have this public conversation in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And I think that is one of the biggest advantages of being more honest and transparent about this part of being a human.
Yeah.
Is that it connects you in a deeper relational way to your kids, especially if you can just be normal about it. So, which this is, the whole podcast is centered on connection, right? So I think that is the number one benefit of being able to engage in this way. So yeah. I think it's great that you've accomplished that.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, okay, let's move into something that's a little more edgy and might make some people uncomfortable. And that is, I want to talk about the subject of porn, because this is, you know, a part of our culture that it's pervasive in the technological spaces that we're accessing all the time. Mm-hmm. And personally, I feel like this is something that needs to be discussed. And I've had my own conversations with my son, but let me ask you, in your opinion, what, to me, it's not a matter of should we do this, but it's when should we do this? So in your opinion, what age do you think we should bring this up to them?
So specifically about porn, I think first it's important to establish a clear line of communication, an open line of communication with your child really young. So, you know, children start to differentiate between the sexes and genitalia at age 3. And so using the correct names for body parts, you know, not using words like slang words or, I don't know. We've heard all kinds of crazy ones. My 18-year-old daughter and I this morning were like trying to think of words that parents might use for body parts.
Like
we came up with this whole list, like,
yeah,
hoo-ha, lady bits, downstairs, privates. And she actually had a piece of advice she wanted me to share about that specifically. And I thought it was brilliant. So if you don't mind, I'd like to share that little piece of advice.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Yeah. She said that when kids get a little older, like, so, you know, when they're little, you're calling them by their scientific medical names, penis, vagina, things like that. But when they get a little older, she said it's really important to also discuss some slang terms that they might hear at school, like balls or boobs or things like that. Because she said she went to school and all she knew were the medical terms. And then people were saying these words and she's like, what are you even talking about? So it just, you know, just to keep them comfortable and know what they're going to encounter out in the real world. But then, you know, moving forward, when you're talking about porn, I think a really important thing, if you can, is to try to talk to them before they encounter it, because handling it after the fact is always more difficult, you know? So, I'd say by the age of 10, you might want to have some conversations, I guess, depending on how often your child is using the internet and how, you know, how into tech they are, but they're going to come across it. And, you know, it's important to try to handle it before it happens.
Yeah. I think that's great advice. I agree with that. Yeah. And I'll just share that I've had, you know, I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old, and I can't remember when, maybe a year or two ago is when I initiated this conversation with my older son, because I knew it was inevitable. And mm-hmm. So, you know, sharing things like, hey, I want you to know, like, well, first I've asked him, have you stumbled upon some things? And I think at that point he might've seen like one quick thing. But in the work that I really needed to do was to be okay. Like, don't react in this scary, oh my God, really? Did you see that? You know, and have this fearful response, but to just be curious and ask questions. And that creates, I think, a lot of safety, you know, just by inquiring and letting them know, like, it's not going to rattle you. So we can now have this dialogue about it. And that's when it opens the door, or it did for me, to say, hey, I want you to know, like, this is not an accurate portrayal of what I think can be experienced in a sexual encounter. There's so much more to it. There's emotion, there's sensuality, there's consent. And so I try, based on my experience, to paint a picture of like the beautiful aspect and the possibility of what you can have in that encounter that never really gets communicated through what you see in a porn episode or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was really powerful, I think. Like, I think it put this topic of pornography in this like category of almost disinterest in a way. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I was able to kind of illuminate for him how it can be so much more. And I think that was much more compelling and intriguing to him than, let me just go down this rabbit hole and look at these images. So anyways, I don't want to say that's how everybody should have it, but I just think being able to talk about it, period, is so important to let them know, you know, what might be out there waiting for them, and help them to see beyond just those visuals into the actual relational quality of a sexual experience.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. Wow.
Yeah. And it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you. I mean, I will say it was for me, because I've never had these conversations with kids, number one, and nor did I experience them from my parents. So it's new territory. So typically there's always going to be some discomfort, but, you know, thinking through it in that way and going there, and that's where the connection happens with them, and you get to educate them. So anyways, I do think it's important. I loved what you shared on that. So let me ask you, Liza, what do you think then if we don't openly share this part of our life, of life with our kids? Like, what are the consequences, the impact that we might experience? I like to kind of give the contrast to show people, like, if we don't go there, this might happen. And I'm just curious to know how you would answer that.
Gosh, yeah. So actually, my daughter and I were talking about that this morning, that exact thing. And she was saying, like, you know, it's the kids who whose parents don't talk to them about this stuff that end up pregnant at 12. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was giving me an example of a friend of hers who, you know, had that experience. And, you know, that would be kind of an extreme example, but we're basically leaving them to their own devices. You know, we're letting them find out this information from their peers, from Google. And, you know, we're not helping to shape them. We help to shape them in every other aspect of their lives. You know, we help them, you know, with their peer relationships, you know, like, oh, this guy's not being nice to you. Well, let's talk about that. We help them figure out how to eat a healthy diet and how to, get good grades and do well in school. But then we just like leave this completely out. It doesn't make any sense. So they're going to end up, who knows, you know, it might be okay, or it could go terribly wrong.
Yes. Yeah. I love that because, I mean, I would imagine most parents, they want to be the number one influencer on their children's lives, and we get that opportunity. So why would this be any different than, let's say, their nutrition or their physical fitness? It's healthy sexuality is another part of, again, like our experience as being in these bodies that they need to know about. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Well, let me ask you then, okay, say somebody's listening to this and they're just unfamiliar with this level of openness with their kids, mm-hmm. but maybe they want to educate them about sex. What would you say to them just as a piece of advice to kind of overcome that hurdle and get past it?
Yes. So it's so simple. Books. Books are an easy, comfortable, engaging way to start these conversations with your kids. So there's a fantastic book series by an author, Robbie Harris. It's R-O-B-I-E. And she has written some incredible books, including, I think the titles are like, Who Has What? Talking about body parts for little kids. It's Not the Stork, talking about where babies really come from. And I think that one's for like ages 4 and up. It's so amazing. And that just goes into more detail. I think that one's for 7 and up. And then there's an amazing one called It's Perfectly Normal for, I think it's 10 and up. And they're so comprehensive. They cover such important topics, but in a really accessible, fun way. My kids absolutely adored these books. We would read them like a chapter each night as they, you know, progressed through the years as bedtime stories. And it was just comfortable. Mm-hmm. I will say though, like, I'm not perfect. So I definitely get uncomfortable at times. So we have this one book, it's called Mommy Laid an Egg. And I learned about this book through the agency I worked for, and they would recommend it to parents at schools when we would go in to do like the pre-program conferences with parents. And in it, the author, Babette Cole is her name. She illustrates a conversation between two parents and their kids. And the parents are trying to have the talk with their kids to explain where babies come from. But they're telling them all of these ridiculous stories, like they grow in the garden, or mommy laid an egg and you popped out, hence the title, Mommy Laid an Egg. And their kids are like, ha ha, actually, we'll explain it to you. So the kids start drawing these factual, super funny diagrams and very cartoony to explain the birds and the bees to their parents. And at the end, the kids are like, so now you know, and so does everyone else. And the parents are standing there like beet red as all kinds of animals and their young trot past, you know, all the mammals that have sex to reproduce. And it's a great book and my kids really like it. But one of the diagrams in the book is, here are some ways that mommies and daddies fit together. So these kids in the book have drawn these diagrams, and it's like a 2-page spread of cartoony drawings of the parents in various sexual positions. They're really goofy. Like, they're on a skateboard, they're upside down, dressed as clowns. There's one where they're floating above the mountains suspended by helium balloons. And it's so funny. So we've read the book many times. And one night I'm laying in bed reading the book to my 6-year-old daughter, and she was turning the pages for me. And she gets to this page, this 2-page spread, and she just stops. And she's just looking at it and looking at it and taking it all in. And I can just see the gears turning. And I'm like, what is going to happen? What question's going to come out of her mouth? And then she turns to me and she asks, which position did you and Daddy use to make me? And I think I almost died. Like, I did not, like, I was trying my absolute hardest not to crack up, because that was my first instinct. Like, I just, like, was trying to hold it in. But yeah. I was also trying to figure out what to say. And I honestly, like, I fumbled it hard. I could have used it as an opportunity to discuss how sexual positions are something that partners decide on together based on what feels good to both of them. And that it's usually just kept between the two of them as, like, a special part of their relationship. But instead, I'm pretty sure I muttered something about not remembering, and then I quickly changed the subject. So,
oh my God, I love it. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I always say this phrase, messy, not perfect. Like, this, there are going to be these moments, right, where we blush or we feel uncomfortable or we don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, overall, as long as you're making these attempts to even go there in the first place, that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. As long as you're not bringing shame or fear or anything into the conversation, I just don't think you can go wrong. And it's like, over time, I think it does become easier. You know, the words come more easily. You might, even in your own growth and evolution in your body, might feel more comfortable, and that translates to them. So yeah, I think it's amazing that you were able to even just kind of bring them into that whole educational piece through these books. Because yeah, then it's not really on you as the parent. It's like, here are the images. Yes. Here's this thing giving you the information, which makes it a little easier, I think.
Yeah. And then you can be the soft place to land. Like, whoa, that was intense, Mom. Let's talk about it. Let's unpack it. Yeah.
Right. Yes. And I read two of those. I think it was the It's Not the Stork and It's So Amazing. Mm-hmm. When I was homeschooling my kids years ago, and it was so cool. We just had them laying around the house, and we'd pull them out every now and again. And sometimes they would giggle at the pictures, but you could tell there was a genuine interest. They wanted to know how it all worked. And it was a great way to just facilitate that discussion without it being me looking directly at you and giving you a lecture on anatomy and all of it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Definitely true.
Yeah. So, well, one other thought I wanted to share before we tie this up is, you know, this idea of raising sexually liberated kids, because I would say that most people in yours and I's generation, I mean, you had some level of liberation, I think, but most of us, at least in the Midwest, growing up in religious households, I would say probably could not identify themselves as being that. And so I thought to myself this morning as I was preparing for this, that, like, what are the ways that we can help them to become more liberated? And I just have a couple thoughts I wanted to share. One of them, I think, is being a parent who is in touch with your own pleasure, right? Knowing what makes you feel good, that can help you support them in finding out what makes them feel good in their mind, their body, and their spirit. I think, you know, encouraging them to think about what brings them pleasure, talk about it, inquire about it, laugh about it. Like you said, adding humor, it just makes everything more approachable. Mm-hmm. Again, this is kind of something you said, but having age-appropriate anatomy conversation on an ongoing basis and normalizing the conversation about pleasure and having these conversations about how to show love and care to a person. And then I think, you know, personally, I'm at a stage where I just do not like to hide anything from my kids. Like, I like to show affection in front of them. I tell them to an extent, like, what I'm learning about my body. I want them to know how and that I openly relate to and love many people. And so I think even when it's uncomfortable and there's that compulsion to want to hide this part, it's to me doing the work and saying, okay, how can I use this as a teachable moment? What can I share and impart to them that will actually empower them? I think there's so many opportunities that we have to do that. And it's just a matter of overcoming our fears and then inviting them into the conversation. So anyways, those were just some thoughts I wanted to share, because personally, I think the more we can liberate ourselves in around sex, the more that we are able to do that for our children as well.
Yeah, so definitely, like that, you know, showing up for yourself first, you know, like if you take care of yourself, you're modeling that for your kids. And so, you know, then that's just going to, it's going to have a trickle down effect to them.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, before we tie up this conversation, I'm wondering, do you have any final thoughts or advice that you want to share before we wrap up?
Just a simple something that I was told often when I worked for the agency, social health education, everyone there would just say all the time, relax, it's just sex.
You know what is so funny? I saw that recently. I went down to the Hustler store and they have that as a banner inside their store. I took a photo of it. I was like, that's so brilliant.
Nice.
Because yes. It's true. Yeah. It's like, just chill out, everyone.
Yes.
It's only sex. What a fantastic final thought around this as it relates to this topic. So Liza, it has been such an honor to have you here in this discussion, to even though it might be a little uncomfortable for us or for listeners, but to just engage this taboo topic. You know, I appreciate you sharing your wisdom and the insights that you've gleaned from your journey. And I find it to be so encouraging to have this kind of open dialogue around how to bring our kids into this healthier sense around their own sexuality so that they can be as free as we want to be. So I really, really appreciate your time here today.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you inviting me on. It's been a pleasure talking about this with you.
Likewise. And I will just add one little caveat that if you're local to Cincinnati, Liza is going to be leading a sex education class at a alternative co-op school called Leaves of Learning. So if you or your kids are curious about that, I invite you to check out. I actually, you know what, in the show notes, I will link the website to the Leaves of Learning webpage so you can have access to that and you can dive in on her, more of her wisdom and discussion around this topic. So on that note, everyone, I thank you for taking the time to tune in today to this. And I just encourage you to consider leaning into what I think are these courageous talks with your kids so that you all can move a little further into closer connection with each other. If this episode resonated with you, I have something you are going to love. As you may know, part of what helps me live an authentic life is embracing one that is full of connection and adventure. Building a coaching business centered on connection has sparked many of my clients to their own success while offering me the passion of getting to do what I love every day. If you're curious about what it means to live a more authentic life, I have a free resource for 5 steps to live more authentically, to give you simple steps to start walking you toward your true soul-aligned self. I'll link it in the show notes, so definitely check it out if you're interested. I'm so glad you joined us, and remember to stay connected.